All right, I want you to actually turn into your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, down verse 16 first, as way of introduction. We've been looking at chapter 3 and really been dealing with Paul's goal, what he wants to do. And it's really, I think this is probably maybe one of the pinnacle messages right now in dealing with our vision that we have this year and having a vision to grow. In fact, what are our goals that we set out for 2020 to be able to look at our relationship with the Lord, see where we're at, kind of evaluate and see, hey, this is something that I can work on this year, and that hopefully by the end of 2020 we can see we have some accomplishments of that vision or that goal. And this is something where we look at with Paul, as we're going to see today in Philippians chapter 3 verses 12 through 14, as entitled is reaching the goal. He wants to press towards a mark. And so it's all about something that we covered a couple of weeks ago and dealing with how he wants to win Christ and what that is to rule and reign, to be part of the bride. So this really comes down to the nuts and bolts of it that we're going to see today. But I wanted to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and look at these verses 16 through 18. This is a way to get our thought process going and looking at this, especially in what we've been dealing with in 2020. We know that we've been dealing with pandemic, we've been dealing with rioting and protests going all over the place. We're in the middle of a presidential election that's going to be taking place, so there's a lot that's going on, and obviously I don't think it's going to get probably any better until maybe we get through the end of this year, and who knows what 2021 is going to have in store. But it is a great opportunity, as I said last week, to be able to grow. We grow the most when we get stretched, when we're going through some trials and tribulations, but we've got to make sure that we have the right mindset and the right focus on eternity and not the temporal things that we see around us every day. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16 through 18, it says this, "For the which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." In other words, looking to the unseen. In other words, that we're focused on our faith. We're focused on the things that God has laid out for us in His Word, and that's focused on the temporal things that are happening around us. I mean, Paul literally says they are light afflictions, and if you understand anything about the Apostle Paul and everything that he went through to minister the truth of the Word of God, we call it anything else but light. I mean, he went through some hard stuff, but that's what he considers it. It's just light affliction when it's compared to everything that we can have in eternity. And that's what our focus should be, that it's on the eternal. Now, as you go to Philippians chapter 3, let's look at our text that we're going to have today. We're going to be looking at verses 12 through 14, 3 points, 1 point each for each verse. But again, looking at reaching the goal. So Philippians chapter 3, we'll read down through these verses, have a word of prayer, and get started what we need to see today. Philippians chapter 3, starting in verse 12, it says this, "Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Again, so we're going to be looking at verse 12, perfecting, and what that's all about. Verse 13, progressing. And then finally, verse 14, pressing. I mean, those are our three P's. And I'll get alliterated because that's what good preachers do. And so hopefully, help we remember these points. But there's a lot for us to really consider and understand today. So let's have a word of prayer and really get into what we need to see. Father in heaven, I thank you and praise you for the day. I thank you and praise you for this passage, for this time. Lord, I pray that you help us to focus on the eternal and not the temporal. It is easy for us to obviously to visualize the things and see the things that are going on around us. Again, we got the pandemic that's been going on ever since for us really in the States since March, and it seems like it's getting worse as opposed to getting better. It just depends on who you listen to and talk to, and it can be quite discouraging. It's changed our lives, and we're hoping that this is not something that is the new normal, as they want to say. But it's easy for us to focus on those things and to turn on the TV and to see the violence, rioting that's going on, and you've got the different protests and the country at each other's throats, and not even to mention the things that are happening in the world. And so it can be easy for us to get down. It can be easy for us to just toss in a towel and give up. Lord, help us to see the eternal. Help us to focus on the facts of the faith that you've laid out for us in the Word. Help us to understand this walk that you have for us, this mark, this high calling that you've given us. Help us to focus on those things, because that's what's going to allow us to be able to make it through and to grow in these things. That's one of the things that Paul said, that you've laid out in your word and what we talked about in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, where it works for us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory. So Lord, help us to see these things. Help us to have a biblical view of the things and all the different stresses that we go through, to be able to see as an opportunity to continue to grow, to be able to reach that mark, to be able to finish the goals that you have laid out for us. Not just in 2020, but as long as we're on this planet, until we stand before you someday, Lord, that we can stand before you knowing that we've done everything that you have given us to do on planet Earth. Help us to see the eternal. Lord, we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. It says this: not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. All right? And looking at that, we've got to kind of remember what we saw last week. We covered verses 10 and 11, and it says, if you go back to verse 10, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Now, when we talk about verse 11, he's not talking about that he hopes that he's going to be resurrected someday. I mean, God uses Paul to lay out the doctrine of the resurrection for us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Paul knew that there would be a resurrection. He knows that being in Christ, that when he died, that someday his body would be resurrected. So he's not just thinking or guessing or wondering or hoping that, I hope I'm going to be resurrected from the dead someday. When he talks about attaining that resurrection, he is talking about dealing with the same kind of resurrection and the glory that's in the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, we looked at a reference just at the end of chapter 3. Obviously, we'll deal with it in a few weeks, where it talks about who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. That's the resurrection that he's looking for. He wants to be exactly in the same glory as the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have that opportunity, but it's a matter of us walking according to the truth of the Word of God. It's a matter of us being able to continue to do the things that are laid out in the Word of God so that we can be part of the bride, to be able to rule and to reign. And so if you go back to verse 12 again, it says, not as though I had already attained. He understands that he has not attained that yet. He hasn't attained that glory yet. He says, again, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. Now let's talk about this. We've talked about that word perfect before. And when we see perfect in the Bible, a lot of times, again, we're not talking about in a sense of perfect that I'm going to show you that Paul is laying out here as far as dealing with the same kind of resurrection as the Lord Jesus Christ. We talk about the word perfect doesn't mean without sin. Usually when we see it in the Word of God, it means your maturity level that you have in Christ, that you understand that God be able to use you. We've seen that a number of years ago when we're studying the life of Abraham, and God shows up to Abraham in Genesis chapter 17 and verse 1. It says, walk before me and be thou perfect. God's not asking Abraham something to do that he's not able to do. All right, he's not asking him to be sinless, but he's asking him to have a relationship that is mature with him so God can use him and all the things that he wants. We see this, actually, if you go over to 2 Timothy chapter 3. I know you guys are familiar with it. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Excuse me. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. It says this: all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. That word truly means from the inside out. That the Word of God has these four different aspects, as far as doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness, that we can be perfect. Well, what does that mean? Thoroughly furnished unto all good works. That's perfect being defined for us in the Bible. That we're able to do the good works that God has laid out for us to do. That's being perfect, and you have to allow the Word of God to work in your life. You have to go through the reproof. If you do something wrong, you need to allow God's Word to reprove you. To be able to, again, to be able to correct you. To be able to instruct you in righteousness, doing the right thing. That's what perfect is. But in the sense that we're seeing it now in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 12, Paul is talking about perfect in the sense of Jesus Christ and his resurrection. Well, how do you know that, Charles? Well, let's look at what the Word of God says. I want you to go over to the Gospel of Luke real quick. Luke chapter 13. We're going to look down in verses 31 and 32. So the Gospel of Luke in chapter 13. this is the sense that Paul is using the word perfect in, and it is directly related to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he wants to attain that kind of resurrection, being perfected, his glory. In Luke chapter 13, notice what it says down in verse 31, we'll start. It says, the same day, there came certain of the Pharisees. Now remember, the Pharisees are the religious ones. Remember, Paul was a Pharisee before he came into Christ. It says, the same day there came certain of the Pharisees, saying unto him, get thee out and depart hence, for Herod will kill thee. So this is what the Pharisees are saying to Jesus Christ. Now notice Jesus' response in verse 32. And he said unto them, go ye and tell that fox. This is interesting. Jesus is name calling. Well, what would Jesus do? Jesus called Herod a fox, you know, and I don't think he meant that in that he was nice looking either. All right, I mean, study foxes in the Bible; they're not necessarily a great animal. There, all right, they're an unclean animal. And I continue on. It says, "Go ye and tell that fox, behold, I cast out devils, and I do cures today and tomorrow." And it says, "And the third day, I shall be perfected." Now we know when we see the third day in the Word of God, it always points to the resurrection. Alright? You see it all through Scripture. And so this is what Jesus Christ is referring to and telling, hey, here's what you need to do, Pharisees. Go tell that fox. You go tell Herod, you know what? I'm casting out devils. I'm going to do some cures today. I'm going to do them tomorrow. But on the third day, I'm going to be perfected. He's talking about his resurrection. So as we go back to Philippians chapter 3 and verse 12, this is the sense that, again, that Paul is referring to. We're just literally continuing on in what we talked about last week. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 12. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect in the sense of Christ and his resurrection. But this is what Paul is doing. But I follow after. If that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Now I know that this gets a little, maybe confusing a little bit and everything. What exactly is Paul saying? It all points back to the power of his resurrection. Remember verse 10. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. It was that resurrected power, that resurrected Lord Jesus Christ that apprehended the apostle Paul. Paul got arrested. Remember, on the Damascus Road. What did Saul at that time, what did he want to do? He was going to apprehend, he was going to arrest those that were following the way. Well, let's look at it. Let's go back to Acts chapter 9. We'll look at the first six verses. Acts chapter 9, and see if we can get a better understanding of what Paul is saying here, that he wants to apprehend, he's following after, he wants to apprehend that same power that Jesus Christ had for him. He wants to attain that. All right, that's what his desire, that's what his goal is. You look at it in Acts chapter 9. We'll start in verse 1, read down to verse 6. Acts chapter 9, verse 1 says this. Now this is after the stoning of Stephen in chapter 7, and then everything. The church gets scattered except for the apostles in Jerusalem, and the word of God's going forth, and Saul is you know, consenting unto the death of Stephen and so forth, and as we've seen before in Philippians chapter 3, he's making havoc of the church. I mean, he's persecuting the church at that time. Notice what it says starting in chapter 9, verse 1. It says, and Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, didn't care, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. So he has arrest powers, all right, to go apprehend, to be able to go take those men or women, doesn't matter. If they're following this way, I'm going to arrest them, apprehend them, and bring them back to Jerusalem. He had authority to be able to do that. All right? As you guys know, as an officer of the law, I have certain arrest powers. I have powers that I have to be able to detain people. All right? And those powers extend for me for the whole state of Kansas. Not that I go around looking to see who I can arrest because I have the power to do that, but that's what we're talking about with Saul at this time. He had the kind of power to be able to go and do that, and that's what he was planning on doing. But instead of him going to apprehend people, Jesus Christ apprehended him, the power of his resurrection. You continue on in verse 3, it says, and as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, And suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. The pricks are those long pointed sticks that were used to help ox go into the right direction or path as far as plowing the fields and so on. And verse 6 it says this, And he trembling and astonished said, Lord. This is his salvation. He understands that he's Lord. He sees the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. He says, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Now, he is going to apprehend those of that way, that follow the Lord. And Jesus showed up and apprehended him. The power of the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. And that's when Saul gets saved. Lord. Obviously, he believes in his heart, and he confessed with his mouth. Lord. He's saved. And this is amazing. Would to God, every person that came to Christ would say, Lord, what would you have me to do? Not, okay, praise God, I'm saved, but I'm going to go about my way, doing whatever I want to do. No, Lord, what would you have me to do? That started his desire to win Christ, to apprehend that same thing that apprehended him. You go back to Philippians chapter 3 and verse 12. And again, it says this, Not as though I had already attained. He's not in the resurrected form of the Lord Jesus Christ. He hasn't got there yet, and neither have we. It says, Either we're already perfect, but I follow after. Lord, what would you have me to do? It says, If that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Everything that we're seeing in verse 12 is just continuing from what we saw verse 10 and 11. And all of us should have that goal, that vision, to be able to be just like Christ in every sense of the word. Now when it comes to the resurrection day, when it comes if the rapture happens or the resurrection, depends whether we're dead or alive in Christ, when that moment comes, are we going to share in that same glory that is in the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, that's Paul's goal. That's, as we're seeing, this one thing that he wants to do from Philippians chapter 3 and verse 8, in winning Christ. Everything that Paul is doing in his life, and everything that he's being obedient to the Lord for him to do, he's doing it for the sole, single purpose of winning Christ. To be able to attain that perfect, that glorious resurrection, just like the Lord Jesus Christ. To be able to attain his inheritance, to be able to rule and reign, to be able to be part of the bride, to be married to Christ. All these things that we've talked about, these last few weeks. That's his one single-minded goal. And that's the same thing that we need to have. In this chapter, I talked about each chapter we have a vision. Alright? Chapter 1, we talked about, dealing with a vision to serve. In chapter 2, we talked about a vision for others. In chapter 3, don't forget, we're talking about a vision to lead. And Paul is setting forth the example that we need to follow and how we need to follow Christ. What our goal should be. Every one of our goals. Now, I know in 2020, we really encouraged you to have your own personal goal, your own personal vision of what the Lord would have you to be able to grow in for 2020. But in all reality, we all have the same goal, or we should. We all, as we're going to see, have the same calling. And that is this, to win Christ. No matter the individual things that the Lord would have you to do in your walk with the Lord on planet Earth, it all adds up. Every Christian, it should add up to wanting to win Christ. To be able to have and share in His resurrection. Let's move on. We've got to move on to verse 13. It says this, Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. Paul is saying, I'm not finished yet. I'm not done. I'm not resting on what the Lord allowed me to do in time past, all right, as a believer in Christ. It doesn't matter. I haven't apprehended this. I am not in that finished form and everything that Christ would have for me. I haven't apprehended it yet. I'm not there yet. Brother, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. One thing. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I've already mentioned it several times, but you look back again at verse 8 of this chapter. Philippians 3, verse 8, it says, "Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss, for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung." Why? "That I may win Christ." That's the one thing. That's the one thing. He wants to win Christ. And he doesn't want anything, or he's not going to allow anything, to stop him from doing that. No matter the temporal things that happen in this life, he's not going to use it as an excuse to stop him from reaching that goal. Paul is leading us in that. That's what should be the same driving force when we get up in the morning, when we go to bed at night, to get up again the next day, that we want to win Christ. So we can apprehend that same power of the resurrection to everything that is in Jesus Christ, that we can have and attain that same exact thing. It says in verse 13, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind." My goodness. If we could just do that. If we can just do that. A lot of times, people, Christians, we never get to a place where we're actually serving the Lord in the fullest because we can't forget those things which are behind. We live in the past. And you think about a statement like that, and this is one of those things that it's not just, we always think about just the bad stuff, all right? You know, that we get bogged down because we just can't get over the bad stuff. There's people that never do anything in the present as Christians because they're living in the past on the good things. Oh, back 10 years ago, man, I led some people to Christ. Oh, you should have seen that. It was some years ago. I was on a mission field and God used me that. What are you allowing God to do with you right now? Paul says it's just behind. There's more to do. There's more that God has for. I need to be reaching towards that so I can have that goal of winning Christ. I have to forget those things which are behind. We used this reference recently, but if you want to turn there, you can turn there. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, it says this, If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. It's like, again, naturally, but our past is in the past. We've all done things in the past that we wish we wouldn't have done. If we were to go back in the past, like, you know what? I'm not going to make that stupid decision. Because I understand the effects of what happened. We all have those things in our life. Alright? Paul said, forget about it. It's in the past. God has a goal for you to reach for. Focus on progressing on that path. And again, it also holds true again. If you've been used to the Lord, praise God. God's used you to work the Word of God in people's lives, to see people saved, to see, you know, people grow, disciples, I mean, mission trips and things like that. It's like, you know what? Continue on. I would be so foolish to think, you know what? I've done enough. I think I've done enough to be able to attain. Look. At the time that Paul was writing this, he's in prison for preaching Christ. He's still reaching people as he's in prison preaching Christ. He's worked and started churches at this time. Who knows how many people that God had used him to be able to lead to the Lord? How many people did Paul disciple? How many churches were started? The missionary journeys that he did. I mean, Paul did so much more than what any of us would ever hope to accomplish in our Christian walk at this time in Philippians. And what did Paul say? I'm not there yet. Not done yet. There's more that the Lord has for me to do. But what about us? Some of us, sadly, as Christians, we haven't even gotten started. The only start point that we have is we're still at the day of salvation. And maybe years have gone by. And the only thing you've done is accept Christ as your Savior, and you have not asked that question and followed up on it that Paul says, Lord, what would you have me to do? To do. Not to sit, not to
okay, you're saved. Now, I guess that's it. I'll see you in a few years or whatever when you die or the rapture. Nope. Lord, what would you have me to do? Continue to reach forth. Again, in verse 13, it says this, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. God, as always, He's got a plan for you. He's got something for you to do. As you continue to follow and walk that path, you know, the Word of God is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. When He's giving you that light of what you need to do, you need to continue on down the road. And it continues until you are at Jesus' feet. It doesn't stop. It doesn't stop until you know that you've completed everything and you're ready to meet the Lord. All right? And we'll talk about that here in a little bit. Progressing. I want you to turn back to 1 Corinthians real quick to get more insight in Paul's mind in looking at this. I want you to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. An incredible chapter. We're just going to look at the end of it. I mean, it's a chapter that he lays out really talking about how he's been committed to this dispensation of being able to preach the gospel of grace. All right, and it's the same thing that has been committed to us. And it's like, woe is unto us if we do not preach the gospel. That's what he talks about in this chapter down in verse 16 and so forth. But I want you to look at the end of this because it compares, again, this Christian walk, or this path that we're on as a race and a fight. All right? In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, I want you to look down in verse 24. It says, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that you may obtain. Now, I'm going to tell you right now. You guys know me. I don't like running. Running is not the exercise for me. All right? That's why I do karate. That's why I like the next example when we talked about fighting. All right? I don't like to run. Now, being a police officer, and especially when I worked as a municipal police officer, you had to run. I mean, that's part of every, at least twice a year, that you had to do your physical fitness test, and running was a part of it. I mean, you had to do the 300-meter dash, which I'm going to tell you was worse than doing the mile-and-a-half run that you had to do after that, all right? Because, I mean, you got to go all out because this stuff is timed. I mean, it's not like you got all day to run your mile-and-a-half. You don't have all day to run a 300-meter dash. I mean, you had to get after it, you know? But during that time, I'd run. But I don't like running. I don't. I saw, I don't know if you guys saw it on Facebook. I don't even know where the video was from. But you had some ladies that they were walking on some path, and there was a black bear that came up, and they just stood there. All right? And this bear was like really sniffing around and everything like that for this one lady, and then she just kind of stood there. I don't know if I could do that. But the second, I was like, there's all different things. You've all heard it. All right? You know, if there's a bear, certain kind of bear you're supposed to put your arms up and scream and stuff like that, you know, and try to back it down, all right? And then there's, you need to run. I mean, just run. I don't want to get that bear, all right? If I have a bear that's just going to, it doesn't matter, I'm supposed to run, forget it, I'm done. I hope it's a Christian bear. He'll pray over me before he eats me or something. I don't know. I don't know if you've ever seen that joke before. But anyhow, I don't like running. I don't. But it's a great example of what we're talking about in our Christian life. Running. Pressing on, all right? Again, in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and it says, in verse 24, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. Alright? This one thing I want to do, I want to win Christ. That's the prize. That's the goal. It's like the hymn that we sung at the beginning, is going for that prize. Right? Run that you can obtain. You know, I mean, somebody, we see it in the Olympics and so forth. It's like when somebody's running a race, they're not running for bronze. They're not running for third place. They're not running for the silver. They want the gold. There's not a competitor that goes to the Olympics that is like, oh man, I hope I just, you know, finish 10th. And they may, in reality, think, you know what, I'm just happy to be here in the Olympics. And I'm sure that's the case. But I'm sure if you were to interview all of them and say, would you like to have the gold medal in your event? No, I don't need any of that stuff. No, they want the gold. They want the prize. And you know what? In Christianity, it's the same thing. It's not that we're in competition with each other. No, it's a matter of just dealing with ourselves and our relationship with the Lord that we want to win Him. That's the prize. And we need to run to be able to obtain the prize. And there's going to be some things in this world that is not going to be fun. Again, I don't like running. But when I did run, it's like I always had in my mind, it's like the finish. I want to finish. Because I know when I get back to the apartment, like we're in Canada, or when to the house, wherever the case is, I know I'm going to feel good about myself that I finished the goal. I want to finish it. I remember a time when I was running in Canada. I took up running. Try to, you know, keep the weight off. And I remember as I was actually, usually I would run like a 5K, 3 miles around the city, that sort of thing, town that we lived in. And I remember as I was coming down the hill leading up to where our apartment was, this guy passed me and said, "You're almost done." I didn't even know the guy. He had no idea what my path was. He didn't know where I lived. But you know what? It was the encouragement that I needed at the right time to continue to run instead of stop and walk to the rest of the way. Yeah, you're right. I'm almost done. The apartment's just right there. It's like he didn't know me from Adam, as far as I know. All right? And it's like the Word of God, this message today, is encouraging us to keep on running the race that God has for us. I know this whole COVID stuff sucks. All right? I will be so thrilled that there be a day that I can go to my workplace and I can freely talk to people without dealing with a mask that every time when I do have to talk, it falls down and I got to raise it up. I long for that day. I long for the day that we can, you know, not worry about passing COVID or anything. I long for that day, but we got to deal with it for a while. I long for the day that hopefully I don't have to try to arrange my vacation so I'm not going to some hot spot, all right? Or things that are just totally off the list because, again, of COVID. It sucks. I would like to be able to turn on the TV and not have to worry about seeing violent protests all over the place and things that are just stupidity tearing our country apart and people allowing it to happen. And the media fueling all that because it gets ratings and makes money. I would long for that day. I don't know if we ever will have that day. I don't know. But one thing I know is what? I got to keep running the race. Keep fighting the fight. You're still in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. In verse 25, it goes on and it says this. It says, "And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things." That word temperate, self-control, that's one of the fruit of the Spirit that we have. "Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown." In other words, people who are temporally running a race or fighting whatever, they're doing it for something that is a temporal reward. When I go to a karate tournament, not that we have them because of COVID, another thing that we can't do anymore and have karate classes, but when I went to tournaments, it's like, again, you know, I am temperate, trying to train and make sure that I'm ready to be able to do what I needed to do to be able to get gold medals, to get first place. And it's like, but it's still temporal. All the trophies, all the medals and everything that I've attained is not going to go to heaven with me. It's not going to mean anything. They're in a box. I'm telling you, they're literally in a box in my garage. And they're not going with me. It's like, it's temporal. But it's a good example of what we need to strive for, the incorruptible crown. Again, from verse 25, it says, "And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air." There's a point and there's a purpose. It says, "But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." Paul recognized that he literally be preaching the truth of the Word of God to others, but if he's not even doing his own preaching, if he's not following the Word of God, he would be a castaway. In other words, he would not win Christ. Be in heaven, but he wouldn't be married to Christ. He wouldn't have won Christ. He wouldn't be ruling and reigning with Christ. He'd be a castaway. Doesn't mean that he loses salvation. We've talked about that through this whole passage and everything. But it means that he loses out on the one thing that he's striving for, and that's winning Christ. And it's the same commandment for us. God wants us to run the race. He wants us to fight. And it's going to be tough. Isn't it tough running? I mean, start getting out of breath. or me, knees start getting sore. All right, it's not necessarily a fun exercise for me,
but it can teach me so much spiritually how I need to run the race. Like I said, I enjoy karate more, you know, sparring and fighting and so on. And it's like it's more than just the physical; it's the mental. Really, I always teach my students that really it's karate is 90% mental, 10% physical, and it really is. It's not just some old statement that you say, some philosophy. No, it is. There's a strategy. There's a strategy in doing what you do. All right? You're not just beating the air. All right? Just throwing stuff out there everywhere. No, there's a strategy. There's a reason why you're doing what you're doing. Well, that's what our Christian walk is supposed to be, and it's going to need to be. We're going to need to fight. We're going to need to run. Running towards the goal. Reaching towards winning Christ. Keep on going. All right? Remember that movie? It was a Mark Wahlberg movie, and just dealing with Afghanistan, where it was the only soldier that survived, dealing with this attack from the Taliban and all that. And I forget the name of the movie. Forgive me of that, but it's a great movie. But he was the only one that survived. I mean, based off of a true story and all that. But I remember one of the things that the soldiers were saying. It's like under all the attack, and they're running and everything like that. You get hurt, get injured, keep running. If you stop, that's it. You got to keep on running. Got a broken ankle, keep on running. Because if you stop, that's it. And that really has stuck with me from watching that movie. Because it's the same thing in our spiritual race. You're going to get hurt. You're going to trip. You're going to get knocked down. You get back up. Keep on running. Keep on fighting. The only time that we stop is when it's time for us to meet the Lord. And hopefully when we do that, we have finished everything that God has given us to do. I want you to go back to Philippians chapter 3. I need to pick up our last point here. And from verse 12, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, and that I may apprehend. It's not a guarantee. That for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. So many people live in the past, they blame the past, they use the past as an excuse why they don't want to continue to do the things that the Lord wants from them, but can't be like that. Forget those things. And reaching forth into those things which are before. God has something for you to do now, and the next day, and the day after that, and to complete His perfect plan for your life. And then it says this, verse 14, I press toward the mark for the prize. Now remember, it's the mark, there's not many marks, the prize, there's not many prizes, it's one. It's winning Christ. He's already said it, this one thing I do. Alright, going back to verse 8, it's to win Christ. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. As I said, we all have the same high calling, and that calling is to win Christ, to rule and reign with Him, to be glorified in the same glory that He has. We all have this high calling. See, that's what I say so often, is that Christianity has failed so many people. Because, if they're preaching Christ for our salvation, praise God for that. But if that's all they're preaching, so much is being missed out on. So much will be missed out on. Because there's so much to this Christian race than just salvation. It's the opportunity to win Christ, to be a part of His inheritance, to rule and to reign, to be able to be part of the bride for all of eternity. Do you ever go outside and just look up at night, the stars and everything that you see? God has a plan to have a universe filled with righteous beings that have chosen to follow Him. And Christ is over it all. And Christ wants you to rule with Him over it all. It's hard to even fathom. You're talking about an inheritance. Beyond just the salvation inheritance. That's what He wants for us. But what do we got to do? Continue to run, continue to reach forth, to be able to reach that goal, meet that mark, press toward the mark of winning Christ. It's got to be a motivating factor in everything that we do, everything we do every day. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I want you to just go over a little bit, over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 real quick. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And I want you to look down starting at verse 13. I don't even have the time to deal with all the references that Paul talks about in dealing with this calling that we have. But I just want to give you just a few. All right? In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, starting in verse 13, it says this. This deals with our salvation in verse 13. It says, "But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God has from the beginning chosen you to salvation." How? Through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. That's how we get saved. We believe the truth of what's laid out in the gospel of grace for us. That's our salvation, but it doesn't stop there. Verse 14. It says, "Whereunto he called you by our gospel, to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ." You see, there's something more that's beyond salvation. For the life of me, I can't imagine going to a church that all it is preaching is salvation, salvation, salvation. Yes, the lost need to be saved, but that message is for outside the church walls, to reach the lost so that they are saved, that they come to church so they can be grown and edified and understand what God has for them. Now, you know, I mean, I'm sure we all have our favorite foods. I mean, I love popcorn as a snack. I love popcorn. But you know what? There's a certain point in time that's like, you know what? I've had too much popcorn. I gotta have something else. I'm sure we all have a favorite food, but if that was the only thing you're supposed to eat for even the whole week, you might think, kind of want a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Something different. Something different. And unfortunately, a lot of Christians get disenchanted because they're going to churches where preachers and pastors, all they're doing is preaching salvation. Salvation. Over and over. Nothing wrong with that. No, people listen to this like, oh man, what, you don't want to see people saved? Yes, of course I want people saved. But if salvation was all it is, why do we have so much in the Bible that's written to us that goes well beyond just dealing with salvation? Matter of fact, everything that Paul talks about from Romans through Philemon is dealing with to the Christian. Not necessarily to the lost. I challenge anyone. You give me verses that deal with salvation, and they're there. Obviously, they're there. But let me give you some verses that deal with what a Christian is supposed to do after salvation. I think we're going to win that every time. We continue on. Okay, I'm going to read, if you're still in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 14, "Whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ." Did you see that's not a guarantee? That's what he called us to. To obtain. It almost sounds like the same thing. I haven't attained it yet. I haven't apprehended it yet. I haven't obtained it yet, but this is what the calling is all about. And how are we going to do that? Verse 15. "Therefore, brethren," what? "Stand fast." My wife had a devotion she shared with us and our family just a couple of days ago about that. Just standing. We're called to stand. Too many Christians are not standing. They get tripped up, they fall down, and they stay down, and that's sad. Got to get up. Got to get back up. Keep running. "Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold traditions." The only times in this chapter, actually, there's two times that you see that this word tradition that Paul uses in a good sense. "The traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle," or these letters, which again is the word of God. That's how we're going to be able to stand. That's how we're going to be able to be on that path to obtain, to complete that call. Got to keep the word. You go over to 2 Timothy real quick. 2 Timothy, since we're close by. 2 Timothy chapter 1. I'll start in verse 7. We looked at verse 7, verse 8 in this last week. But I want to continue on through verse 9. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 says, "For God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God." We talked about that last week. Why? Verse 9. "Who has saved us and called us." Two different things. "Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus
before the world began. It's not just He saved us, He called us. Again, it's literally just summed up what Paul said. Lord, what would you have me to do? Not just Lord. Glad I got fire insurance, not going to hell. Now I can just go about my way and do whatever I want. No. Lord, what would you have me to do? Because He has saved us and He has called us with a holy calling. He's got a job for us to do. A race for us to run. And at the end of that race, you know what the prize is? It's winning Christ and being able to have the same glory and to be able to rule with Him throughout all eternity over the whole universe. Something that we can't even begin to really, to fully even comprehend. But that's what we have waiting for us. If we keep our eyes on the eternal and do what He's commanded us to do. You look over in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6. This is when Paul is finally at the end of his life. He has completed everything that God has given him to do. He knows that he's going to be rewarded. He knows that he's going to win Christ. It's at the end of his life, the very end of his life. And would to God we would have the same vision, the same goal. That by the time we're off this planet, whether it's through death or whether it's through rapture, that we can see and know that we've completed everything that God has given us to do. That we completed the call that He has for us. Paul knew that. And we know that he knows that because God preserved it in His Word. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, you look at it in verse 6, it says this, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand." Time to fly away. It's time to go. "I have fought a good fight." It's like in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, we look at running the race and fighting, you know, not one that beats the air. "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day," the judgment seat of Christ day. "And not to me only, but unto all them also that love His appearing." Let me talk about it again, Philippians chapter 3. What's our vision for chapter 3? A vision to lead. Are we going to follow how Paul followed Christ? To be able to fight a good fight, to finish the course that God gave us, to keep the faith. Because if we do, we get in the same mode as Paul, knowing that there's going to be a crown of righteousness for us, that we're going to be rewarded at that day. So what do we got to do? We got to press. Keep on going. But I know 2020 has been a tough year. And we're still in the thick of it. There's no guarantees that once we hit 2021 that everything is just going to magically be poof, back fine again like we were used to before March of 2020. Why'd it have to be March? It's my birthday. That's my birthday month. Why'd it have to... Oh, well, anyhow. No matter what temporally happens later today, tomorrow, this week, the rest of this month, the rest of this year, the Word of God holds true. Still the same call. Still the same holy calling. All right? It's not that, okay, we got to negate the Word of God, you know, because, I mean, obviously, God didn't realize that we had to deal with COVID. I mean, Christianity works until COVID-19. We got to stop. We're done. Can't. No. We grow through it. We continue to press on. Still have the same goal. We've got to continue. And that's why I talked about last week, we have to understand that power of the resurrection. We can't do this in our own strength, in our own power. And that's the problem with so many Christians these days, that they're trying to live, if they're trying to live a Christian life, they're trying to do it in the flesh. They're trying to do it in their own power, their own strength. It's not meant for that. God gives us the power. He gives us the strength to be able to do the commandments. God never asks you to do something that He doesn't equip you to do it. He doesn't. So way back to Adam in the garden. God told Adam, "Hey, I need you to take care of the garden." But what did God do? He provided with four different rivers and everything like that. I mean, it was all taken care of. Alright? God never asks you to do something that He doesn't equip you to be able to do. And God gives us the strength and the power to be able to continue to press on, to continue to run on, to continue to fight on. No matter the temporal things that happen. Our problem is we get focused on the temporal instead of being focused on the eternal. Winning Christ. Last reference and we'll be done. I want you to go to Galatians chapter 6. Very familiar with it. And we'll close out with this. It's very familiar. It's the whole reaping what you sow. I tell you something, it's like I hate this. Somebody does something bad, and then people's like, oh, karma's going to get you. Karma, karma, karma. I have a disdain for that word, karma. I hear it so often. Because it goes back to Hinduism. You know, the whole, if you live a terrible life, karma, you're going to come back as a roach or something like that. It has nothing to do, nothing biblical. And all it is a perversion of the truth as far as reaping what you sow. And that's a good thing, or it can be a bad thing. I want you to notice this, though. All right, Galatians chapter 6, starting in verse 7. It says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of his flesh reap corruption. All right, that's the whole bad stuff. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. In other words, focus on the eternal. But I want you to notice verse 9. Because it says, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Keep on going. Paul didn't land himself in prison for preaching Christ and say, you know what, I'm done, that's it. No. Because if he did do that, we wouldn't be reading 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. Being rewarded because he loved his appearing, because he completed the course that God had for him, keeping the faith, fighting a good fight. We have 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 7 and 8, for us to also have that same goal to follow after, because he just didn't give up and faint. Be not weary in well-doing. Continue to do the right thing. Continue to follow after Christ, to be able to win him no matter what this world throws at us. If you trip and fall, get back up. Keep on running. Keep on fighting. Keep on reaching. Keep on pressing. That's what we need to do. And again, God gives us the strength and ability to do it, and it happens as you spend daily in the Word of God. Right, you remember our introductory verse? The outward man perishes, but the inward man is renewed day by day. You know how your inward man is renewed day by day and having that strength and be able to carry on? Day by day, being in the Word. It's the source of your power, source of your strength. Put the Spirit of God in you, Word of God, open. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, I thank you and praise you for the day. I thank you for all that you have shown us. There's a lot, and I know that it could have been obviously laid out better, differently. But Lord, I pray that you take what was said of your word, Lord, and I pray that it reaches down in everyone's heart. Lord, that we take it to heart, and that it's not just another message. Oh yeah, that was kind of nice. That was interesting. No. Understand that these are things that you have commanded us to do. I mean, it can't be summed up any better than what Paul says. Lord, what would you have me to do? We should wake up every day and that should be our prayer. Lord, what would you have me to do today? Because it's part of the plan of reaching forth to be able to win you, to win Christ. And there may be some hard things that you would have us to do in a day, in a week, in a month, in a year. But knowing that you give us the power and the strength to be able to do them. Because anything that we go through on this planet is a light affliction compared to the glory that can be revealed in us through Christ. Help us to have this vision every day. Help us to understand this calling every day. Lord, you saved us with a reason, for a reason and for a purpose. Well, let us take it to heart. Ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.